Episode 9. Show up to others authentically. In the movie Runaway Bride, Julia Roberts' character, Maggie, was confronted by Richard Gere's character, Ike, for going along with whatever type of ex her boyfriend liked at the time. So, if Maggie's boyfriend liked soft-boiled eggs, she will immediately like them. If her boyfriend liked huevos rancheros, that will be Maggie's favorite egg dish. In that movie, after Maggie was confronted with the choices she was making, she spent a full day in the kitchen, trying all types of eggs. Benedict eggs, scrambled eggs, sunny side up eggs, fried eggs, hard-boiled eggs, poached eggs, and so on. Maggie thought that she was connecting with another person by sharing a common taste for a certain style of eggs. But as the movie unfolds, she discovered that that type of connection was built on a false premise. She didn't even know what her favorite eggs were. The history of humanity shows us that we have survived as a species not only because of biological adaptation, but also because of our connections with others. What are we without our relationships with others? What is life about without connecting with others? Over time, we have learned that having richer lives involves having a strong, intimate, and caring connections with others. We don't need to have thousands of friends. Of course, it's okay if you have thousands of friends. But we need to be genuinely accepted, seen, and cared for by others. When you care for people around you, of course you want them to be okay. You want them to be happy. And you want to show them with your actions how much you care about them, how much you love them. Because you care about them, you might think things like, I better make sure Lisa's happy during this trip. What will James like and want? Let's do whatever he wants. That makes sense. Those thoughts make sense because you deeply care about people around you. And because you deeply care, you may relate to arguments, conflicts, and disagreements in very unique ways too. When thinking about arguments, disagreements, and fights, you may have thoughts like, I can't take it when someone is upset with me. It's not for me to argue with my partner. I'd rather not rock the boat so nobody gets upset with me. I'd rather disconnect than argue. I feel rejected when my partner gets upset with me. So I try to not take it personally, but I cannot avoid it. The reality is that you are wired to connect with others, to be caring, and to show up for the ones you love. That's human. And being prone to high-achieving behaviors means that you deeply care about those relationships, to the point that you feel over-responsible for others' well-being, you're overly concerned about disappointing them, and quite likely, you prioritize their well-being over yours. You may spend all of your time trying to be perfect for others' eyes and meeting all their expectations. Some authors refer to these behaviors as people-pleasing behaviors. However you want to call them, what is important is that you step back and reflect, act style, on why you do those behaviors and how they work in your relationships and in that relationship with yourself. Being honest with yourself, asking for what you need, and setting boundaries can transform your relationships for the better. Of course, this doesn't happen all at once. However, I am confident that with the main points you will hear in this episode, you can learn to do so. Let's begin. What sort of relationships do you want to build? Maybe at some point you have thought about the relationships you would like to have and how you would like to be within them. To answer the question, what sort of relationships do you want to build? Please keep in mind that I am not talking about what you want to do with others or how you want to be treated. I am talking about how you want to be within your relationships regardless of how other people behave around you. I have an exercise for you that will help you to clarify things. Exercise: discovering your interpersonal values. For this exercise, please listen to the directions first and then pause this audio guide to complete it. You are going to need a sheet of paper and a pen. Here are the directions. Find a quiet location to be in for 10 to 15 minutes. Sit in a comfortable position and have a sheet of paper and a pen next to you. You can keep your eyes open or closed, but gently anchor yourself in your breathing. Take a couple of moments to notice your breathing. Notice every time you're breathing in and you're breathing out. Notice every time you breathe in and you breathe out. Allow yourself to pay attention to your breathing for a couple of moments. If there is a thought coming into your mind, simply say thought and then go back to pay attention to your breathing. Imagine the following scenario. You are celebrating your 70th birthday with your partner, friends, and relatives. Give yourself a couple of moments to imagine this very important occasion. Visualize the place where your birthday gathering is taking place, the time of the day, the colors, and the people gathered to celebrate you. You can see them one by one. All the people who matter to you and who have made a difference in your life. Then imagine them giving a speech about who you were in your relationship with them. Your romantic partner begins a speech. You listen as your partner slowly talks about your character and the type of partner you have been within the romantic relationship. Do your best to stay with this scene for a moment as you take in everything your partner says. Then slowly go back to your breathing. Open your eyes and write down your response. What did your partner say about you? You can press pause and return to this exercise when you are done writing. Gently, go back to closing your eyes and anchor yourself one more time in your breathing. Noticing each breath as you breathe in and you breathe out. Do your best to breathe slowly. Then bring your mind back to the image of your 70th birthday. And after holding this image in mind for a moment, imagine that this time it's your best friend who is getting ready to give a speech about how you were within your friendship. Your friend knows you very well, has a history with you, and has been there with you in both good and bad times. Imagine what your friend is saying about your qualities as a friend and the qualities you bring into the friendship. Stay with this scene for a moment as you take in everything your friend says about the type of friend you have been during your friendship. Now slowly transition back to the present. Take a couple of slow, deep breaths as you open your eyes. And write down what you hear your friend say about you. Press pause and then return to this exercise when you are done writing. Finally, bring yourself back to the image of your 70th birthday one last time. And hold this image in mind for a couple of moments. See if you can visualize a family member who has been a constant presence in your life, one who has been there with you over the years. This relative knows you and sees you on a deep level, and now is sharing with others what qualities are important to you as a family member. Listen for the qualities your relative says you brought into the relationship. Hear about what type of family member you have been. And now, for the last time, do your best to listen to those words. And after holding them in your mind for a couple of moments, let this image fade. Anchor yourself in your breathing. Open your eyes. And write down your response. Press pause and return to this episode when you are done writing. Now, I invite you to read all of your responses and identify any common themes. These are the core qualities that are important to you. These are your core interpersonal values. Of course, you can add other values that are important to you in your relationships that perhaps didn't show up in the exercise. But these interpersonal values are the qualities you want to hold on to and nurture in your relationships with your romantic partners, friends, and family members. You can listen more on values on episode 23 in my podcast, Playing It Safe. You can go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify and listen to the episode there. Letting go of the ideal outcome. No matter how much you care about people and your relationships, it's a guarantee that difficult situations with others will come your way. And in those moments, you need to ask yourself two questions. One, If I do X, does it take me closer to or farther away from who I want to be in this relationship? And true, if I do so, how will I feel about myself? Both questions are important, but the second one is super key because if you are prone to high-achieving behaviors, it's quite likely that you have been focused on getting the ideal interpersonal outcome, like being liked, being accepted, or being noticed all the time. But do you really have control over how others feel about you, how others see you, or how others behave with you? So, with your permission, I want to invite you to do two things. One, radically accept that you don't have control over the outcome in a relationship. Two, take a deep breath and let go of relentlessly pursuing an ideal interpersonal outcome, making room for guilt and shame. As you let go of chasing the ideal outcome when it comes to others' behaviors, it's quite likely that you will experience emotional distress. And with it, two tricky feelings may come your way, shame and guilt. Let's distinguish them. Guilt is a feeling you get when you did something wrong or perceive you did something wrong. Shame is a feeling that your whole self is wrong. Shame is what you feel after doing or saying something wrong that somehow reflects your character as a person, as if you are wrong or flawed. Guilt and shame are uncomfortable feelings, but shame can color your relationships on a different level. When feeling ashamed, you may withdraw, criticize yourself, or sometimes criticize others. Withdrawal is perhaps the most common and immediate response one has to a moment of shame. We all have felt like disappearing into a hole in the ground after saying or doing something embarrassing in front of others. But when the feeling is more intense or chronic, you may anticipate, correctly or incorrectly, that you will be ashamed and quickly withdraw physically or mentally. It's like the mere probability of shame, feeling seen as stupid or defective, can cause you to avoid an activity at all costs. And on top of that, you may also criticize yourself for being or acting stupid, selfish, clumsy, or defective in some way. Shame is another way of attacking yourself. And both responses, withdrawing and criticizing yourself, are both avoidant responses. Think about it. When you disconnect from a situation that could make you feel ashamed, or you start talking harshly to yourself, you are not sitting with uncomfortable feelings of shame. You are getting around it quickly. When you remove from a situation that makes you feel ashamed, you are not sitting with uncomfortable feelings that may come with it. And when you start criticizing yourself, you are not sitting either with uncomfortable feelings of shame. So here is what you can do when you have an urge to withdraw or criticize yourself. Number one, watch your feelings. Label them, name them, tag them. You may choose to observe your feelings as they express themselves in your body. Just notice the feelings without judging them or reacting to them. Number two, describe to yourself what you're feeling, sensing as the emotions show up in real time. You can say to yourself things like, here is a feeling of that, that, that. Here is a sensation of that, that, that. Make sure you complete those sentences when describing to yourself what you're feeling. These skills may sound simplistic and even insignificant, but they are actual ACT skills. If you practice them and you're open to new things, you may notice how these skills help you to disentangle from shame stories and all the pain that comes with them. So you don't have to criticize yourself and you don't have to withdraw from others. Be anxious and still ask for what you need and say what you think. When you are in touch with your interpersonal values, that means that you will ask for what you need, for what is important to you, and for what you care about in a given situation. Asking for what you need may feel like a very uncomfortable thing to do, and yet, your relationships will blossom if you stop bending over backward to please others and instead honor your needs, wants, and wishes. So here are the basic components of making an effective request. You need to clearly state, 1, what the situation is. 2, your thoughts about it. 3, your emotions when dealing with it. And 4, your request. Here are 2 examples of requests. First example, I would like you to be healthy and take care of your body. Second example, on Monday evening, when we were talking about the outing with your friends, I reflected that the last 4 times you went out, you came home drunk and after midnight. I have been thinking about your health and safety, and I get stressed and worried that something may happen to you. So I want to ask you to please stop drinking as much as you have been doing the last 5 nights. Do you see the difference between the first and second example? Asking effectively for what you need is a very, very, very useful skill to have. And it really helps you to be the person you want to be, instead of going into demanding behaviors when requesting something from others. You may not get everything you ask for, but it's a starting point for having a healthy, rich, and meaningful relationship. Pause and play. At the end of this episode, I want to encourage you to do things with others in a meaningful and authentic way, and not because you are chasing a perfect outcome with others, or because you're chasing to be liked by others all the time. So I have some tips for you. Number 1, always go back to your interpersonal values. You can ask yourself, how do I want to show up to this relationship? What matters to me in this moment? Number 2, focus on what works, ACT style, and not on the ideal outcome of a collaboration with others. Number 3, keep in mind that working with others in any setting or capacity means that at times you are going to feel ashamed or guilty for things not going right, for people not paying attention to details. Keep in mind that when dealing with others in any setting or capacity means that at times you are going to feel ashamed or guilty for things not going right. So do your best to make room for those uncomfortable feelings as they happen. And trust me, in the history of humanity, no one has died from sitting with uncomfortable feelings. In any relationship with others, you are facing 2 choices. Do you sugarcoat things or do you show up in an authentic way? Showing up with authenticity means asking for what you need, even though you are afraid of rejection or disappointing others.